Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where I am your host, Leah Killings, Dr. Happy, whatever you call me a child of God. I am very excited on tonight to be able to share another inspiring word. I'm looking forward to God blessing me as well as blessing you, because we always want to be encouraged, we want to be empowered, and we want to be educated all into the glory of God. Now, we say that we want to be encouraged because every time we hear the word of God, it is encouraging. And so we're looking for tonight to be an encouraging word, one that we will use and empower ourselves to make the necessary changes so that we can not only be encouraged, but be empowered, not just to make the changes, but to share it with someone else. And then, praise God, we want to make sure that we learn something. It's one thing to talk about scripture, because many of us know some of the scriptures that we talk about, especially those that are very common. But the goal is to learn something, to grasp whatever it is that God wants for us to grasp, and then take advantage of that information and, again, use it to our best of our abilities and then be able to share it. So if this is your very first time tuning in, welcome, welcome, welcome. I'm excited that you tuned into the show. We are Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio. And like I said, our goal is to encourage, educate, and empower. And so we're on every Monday night. So tune in every Monday night at this time, however you logged in or dialed in. We're more than happy to have you again. And for those of you, praise God, can you believe it's been 11 years that we've been in this vein, moving into 12. Can you believe that? In the same vein, on the same night, almost at the same time, we started at 9:30 and now we're at 9. But nevertheless, God has been with us. And so you've been with me, whether it's been 2 months, 2 weeks, 2 years, 10 years, amen, five, however many. I just thank you for tuning in each week. Those of you that sometimes can't tune in, you call and you text and you listen to the pre-recordings, and however you do it, I just thank you for being continued listeners and giving me what I need to be encouraged, to be empowered, and to continue to study the show. Myself to be not only one to can rightly divide God's word, but that I try to live up to the standard which God has called me to. And so I thank those of you, and you know who you are, that keep me focused and keep me grounded so that I can too be remain true to the word that God lays on my heart to share and to expound and empower to make those necessary changes. And so for that, I thank you. Now, our biggest praise has to go to two people, praise God. I can't name you all by name, but I can name these two people, and that is Jesse and Tammy Store, because without them and their wisdom and knowledge and just pure example of what it means to be dedicated to the things of God and to be able to empower and to promote others to do the same. And so I am grateful for the Omega Ministry Group, because they continue to pray for me. They continue to pray for others, and they continue to empower others to do what God has called them to do. So I will always call them by name. And they led me to this ministry and have supported me for so many years, and I will always be indebted to them. Now, the greatest praise and the biggest praise, and I know I give them a big shout out, but our biggest praise has to go to my Father. He's your Father. He's all of our fathers. Whether we've given our lives to him or not, he is our Father. And so we have to make sure that we always acknowledge him. And so I always start the song with the upbeat song, and whenever Jesus says yes, nobody can say no. And whenever he says no, no one can say yes. And so I'm always grateful for that song, because it has so much meaning, and it gave me inspiration to turn my life around, because so many times I was listening and believing what man said, and I had to remember, it's God. When he says yes, nobody can say no, and when he says nobody can say yes. And so it's an upbeat song. I thank you, all of you, for tuning in. And then we go into prayer before we go into our lesson. So, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you thanking you for your wonderful blessings. We thank you for waking us up this morning. We thank you for giving us your precious gift of life. We thank you, Father, for allowing us to be able to know you and to know you intimately. And even, Father, when we mess up and we go astray, you keep the path. You keep the light on. Amen. So we can come back to you. All we have to do is repent and straighten up our lives to do the things that you've called us to do so that we can be in right standing. But I love that your word says that you will never leave us nor forsake us. So no matter what we do, amen, and it's very, very, very limited to what we can do. It's only one thing, and I don't even think that you allow our little feeble minds to even know what that really means. But you said you'd never leave us nor forsake us, and so there's nothing we can do that will take your love away from us. And so for that, Father, we can't help but say thank you. We thank you, thank you, thank you, Father, for all the things that you're doing, for the things that you've done and the things that you will do. We thank you for first and foremost being a vine and allowing us to be connected to you. And for us being connected to you, we bear fruit that remains, because without you, we can do nothing. And so because of that, when we remain in you and your words remain in us, we can ask whatever we wish and it will be granted, because we will only ask for those things that are according to your plan and your purpose. And your purpose is for us to prosper. Your purpose is for us to be lights and to be kind and to be loving. And so we thank you for giving us the spirit to do all of those things. We thank you for the word that gives us a roadmap that just shows us what to do and how to do it. And then when we just don't understand, the Holy Spirit is there that lives within us, that guides us and molds us to be the very people that you called us to be. And Father, most importantly, we have the example of Jesus and the blood stain that was taken in our stead, Father, because we didn't have the courage, we didn't have their endurance, we didn't have nothing to be able to pay the price that was necessary. But I thank you, Father, that you lowered yourself and came to earth and did that for us, for our behalf, so that we can live eternally with you. And so because of that, we say thank you. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your kindness and your grace. And Father, we ask that you be with us in this hour, and that you be with us, whether we're listening on it live tonight or whether we're listening in months and even years to come, that it will be an inspiring word, that you will get the best because you will get all the glory, and that we will do our best to give you all honor and praise. And it is in Jesus' name that we pray. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Well, like I said, if you're just tuning in, this is Leah Killings with Empowered to Change Block Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. And I'm excited on tonight for the lesson because so many things have been going on in the past couple of weeks, and I'm a little drained, if you can tell in my voice, because praise God, I had the blessing or benefit to be able to drive to St. Louis this weekend for my daughter's volleyball tournament. And so it was very tiring because it was a 9-hour drive there and back, and we were only there for a couple of days. But the trip was surreal within itself because as a child, I remember driving from Minnesota to Georgia and Alabama to visit my grandmother and family, and being able to see the skyline of the arch that is in St. Louis. And always wondering as a kid, you know, sometimes I think we take for granted that kids are just kids, but kids are inquisitive. Kids have ideas and have desires and dreams. And I think sometimes we dismiss them because we think they're too young and they don't understand. But I remember at 6 and 7 years old, passing by and seeing that arch and always wondering what was around it, what was near it. And even through the years traveling through that way, always wanting to stop but never having time, because we normally, when we're passing through, we're always going to see family in Minnesota or in Alabama or Georgia. So we've never had time to actually stop and just see the art. And so God blessed me to be able to not only see the art, but be able to see it from my hotel. It was next door. I mean, literally across the street, and it wasn't like a long street. It was literally outside of the door, and there it was. And so to be able to look and learn about the history of it and to see the vastness of how detailed it had to be for the men and women or whoever that designed the plans. Now, you know, sometimes the people write history, but it ain't always necessarily true. Amen. But nevertheless, the people's names that were documented that actually put it together, designed it, amen to them, because it took a lot for them to structure the ark to stand, you know, to sustain, you know, the elements, the weather and all the things that were necessary. And then to not even know, just passing through so many years, that you can actually go inside, that there's a museum on the bottom level, and you can actually ride in a little cart that takes you up to the top of the arch, and there's arch, and then there's windows up there that you can look out and see pretty much the whole city of St. Louis. And then, of course, you ride the little cart back down. But nevertheless, that God has blessed men and women to be able to design something like that to give us a remembrance of why. Of course, this is the history that they share, to bring the West together. But nevertheless, it was a monument for me And it was a monument for me because it was something that I experienced with my parents. And so it was so surreal to be able to be there, to take not only take an up-close picture, but to touch it and to be that close to something that I had only dreamed of as a kid, wanting to stop and never having the power, if you will, to ask, could we stop? But nevertheless, God gives you the desires of your heart. And so one of the things that also brought me into the understanding of seeing it in the daytime, you know, was, you know, it was a big monument, needless to say. But even looking at night and how the light illuminated against the materials that was used to design this arch, and so how it illuminated and how tall and how high it was, to make me think, you know, if we were to see God, I mean, how vast, how bright, how light that would be. And so I've often told people, because a lot of the parents thought, you're driving really 9 hours one way by yourself. Why would you do that? And so I love driving. I've always liked driving because it gives me an opportunity to kind of be at peace. And so, the older that I get and the more understanding and wisdom I get, I like to see the things that God has created. And so in the midst of having that light, I also was able to be blessed by the light of the moon, because I love driving at night, but nevertheless. But the moon was amazing to me. It was amazing to me for several reasons, because, you know, as those of you that are following the news that the eclipse are coming, or, you know, to some degree, or, you know, there's a lot of theories that are behind April 8th and all the whole hoo-ha. But the thing that I think was most alarming, if you will, for me was it looked like the moon was bigger than it's ever been. And it kind of took me kind of off point, because I love the moon, and so I've always watched the moon, and I've always, you know, prayed outside, and so I've always loved the illumination from the light from the moon. And so it was pretty weird, so weird that I pulled over, because it was so alarming, because it looked so big, so vast. And so in the midst of me looking and trying to figure out why the moon looked so much bigger and so tangible this particular clear night, it just put me in the mindset of how God wants us to be the light, and why our light to illuminate like that. If it was enough to make me pull over, not that people should be pulling over because they see us, but people should be in awe when they see us, because we represent God's light. And so I love that the word says that God has taught us and is wanting to teach us through his word why, when we abide in him, that we should be light for others. When he, when we give our life to him and he encloses us, if you will, with his illuminating light, people should be in awe when they see us, because they see light. A couple of days ago, I was talking to Dr. Bliss, one of my mentors, definitely for my certification for being a spiritual counselor, was sharing a couple of weeks ago in her Bible study that a person asked her a question, did God create darkness? And so she said, she said, he's the creator of all things. She's like, well, let me, you know, research. Let me look that that topic up a little bit more. And so the interesting thing that, you know, in our discussion, it was, if God created light and there is no darkness in him, and we're going to go over that scripture, in order for it to be dark means that he is void. He's not there. So that's a pretty scary thought when you really think about it. When of course, he created everything, and everything was good, and he had to separate. Why did he have to separate the light from the darkness? What created that darkness? Well, it wasn't necessarily him. It was the absence of his presence that created that darkness. And what creates him to leave is sin. And so when we talk about people are so dark and so cold, why do we use those adjectives to go with people that don't seem to have light, don't seem to have a positive view or a positive air or aura about them. I love that we understand, you know, even from a science perspective, that there are certain elements that we need just to sustain life, and that's light, air, water, and food. But the most critical for those of us that know the word, we know that we need the true light, which is Jesus. He is the essential source of our life. Without him, it is impossible for us to sustain life at all. And even in the science community, it says that if the sun ceased to shine, everything would die. And so if we believe that from our earthly perspective, from a spiritual perspective, if we don't have God, if we don't have Jesus illuminating in our hearts and in our minds, then we are spiritually and physically dead too. And so I like that there are several scriptures that we'll focus on tonight, but how it talks about that the Holy Spirit breathes life into us. Amen. And then Jesus is also our living water. And so when we talk about light, Jesus is light. You know, we breathe in the air. God breathed into us life. And then we know that the living water represents Jesus, as well as our food, our spiritual food and substance is the word. And so if we, from a spiritual perspective, understand who we are and whose we are, and if we nourish those attributes of our life, then it wouldn't be hard for folks to be in awe when we passed by, because they would see the godly light in us. Now, one of the things that I think that we have to be reminded is that it is our responsibility not only to walk in the things of God, but it's also important for us to share who we believe and why we believe in him. Now, most of the people that I've trained, many times I find that they don't know how to share. And so one of the coolest things about sharing God is sharing a part of you. And so if he illuminates in you, then just sharing who you are is part of that that light. Today, because I was extremely tired, because praise God, I got in at 6 o'clock this morning, went straight to school. But that doesn't change anything for me, because, amen, I have to represent God, because I represent him, because he lives in me. And so one of the teachers said to me, she's like, she introduced me to a student. And so he came in, he smiled, and of course, you know, smiles do something to me. And so I was like, oh, welcome, welcome, welcome. And she said, I apologize. You're going to get this every day, because this is just who she is. And she didn't realize how much of a compliment that was to me, because, one, I wasn't as bubbly as I could have been, because I was still a little tired. But I do what I do unto God, and so I set all that other stuff to the side. But nevertheless, she saw that in me, that, you know, you're going to get this all the time, which she may have meant as a joke, but she didn't. And so I am grateful that God has blessed me enough to be able to be a servant of his light, and that I don't take that lightly, that I don't want anyone to see the darkness in me. Now, my children sometimes get to see that dark side. But even in that, I need to repent at those times, because I want them to see the light in me too. And so we want to make sure that we understand, where did all of this come from, and why is it important for us to share, and why is it important for us to be light? Now, there are several accounts, and I think the most important one for me is to start from the beginning. And I like that in my research it says that in the beginning of just in the history that we know, when God placed Adam over the earth, it was Adam's responsibility to rule over what God created. He was the steward. But because, amen, Adam saw fit to listen to another source, he created a curse on the earth, which caused this darkness. Now, one of the things that I think sometimes we forget is that, especially when we're talking about Adam and Eve and he ate the fruit, and we can get so caught up about, you know, was it an apple? Those of us that study the word, those of us have a better understanding. When we study the word, we have to read it for what it was intended. And so I don't get caught up on an apple or orange or a banana. God told them not to do it, and they did it anyway. And so what was the source that caused them to disobey? That, I think, is the main part of the story. It wasn't so much that they were disobedient in what fruit they ate. It was that they didn't believe God enough to do what he told them to do. And how is that relevant to us today? When God tells us to do something, and because the world, because somebody else said, because what we think, we're leaning to our own understanding, we fail to obey the commands of God. And because we don't sometimes do those things that God has told us to do, sometimes they can result in things that we're just not prepared for that can cause permanent damage. And so we have to be careful that when God gives us an assignment, that we follow his assignment. I like that 2 Timothy 2 and 12, it says, if we endure, we will also reign with him. And so sometimes when God gives us instruction, it doesn't seem like we understand where it's coming from. And so sometimes we could say, Lord, it looks a little bleak. It looks a little dark because I don't quite understand. I'm not seeing the light in this story. But nevertheless, we have to follow. I can only speak from my own experiences. Like I said, I or have shared before that I had COVID first. And so when I couldn't seem to catch my breath and I couldn't seem to get better, but all my tests were negative, they had to do some other testing. Well, I'm used to testing because I had lost my vision before and I've had other challenges with near heart attacks, near strokes, blah, 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 blah. So I've had challenges before, but I never in a million years thought that they would say that they found cancer in my body. And so for me, that was a little dark because I thought, Lord, for real? I've been blind. I've had all these other challenges, and I've been sick for a long time. And then I've just endured this whole challenge of not being able to breathe, not being able to walk, being in a wheelchair. And now I've endured cancer. And so sometimes when we endure things that we just don't understand, sometimes we feel like darkness is covering us. So we just don't feel like things are fair, if you will. But the worst is as we endure, amen. And I'm so grateful that I knew enough about the word and I knew enough about God and I knew enough about his blessings and his miracles and his promises that I was able to stand in the midst of that and be able to see his light and be able to believe whatever you do, Lord, amen, I'm following. And so I'm just going to continue to praise you regardless. And amen. You'll do what you do. And so here on the other side, that I'm delivered from cancer and didn't have to go through chemo or radiation, they were able to cut it out and they found it in enough time that they could cut the cancer out. I understand why it was necessary for me to walk in the light. I understand why it was necessary for me to continue to praise him. I understand why it was necessary for me to continue to represent his life because many people didn't even know that I was sick because I continued to do what God called me to do. And I believe because he knew I would, that's why he gave me the assignment. And so I'm grateful that I can say from experience that it is important that you walk in the light and that you walk in godly counsel. Because had I not been around the right people, had I not been around people that kept me encouraged and kept me built up, I don't know that I would have been able to sustain the light, amen, that I thought I had because I didn't know that I really had that much light to stand. But nevertheless, I was able to. I like that we have examples, and that's why the word is so important, why we read the word. I like that even in the study part that I did for the beginning part of Adam and Eve, it says Adam sinned not by standing up for speaking the truth to his wife when she invited him to participate in sin. It was his description of the conversation and how, amen, God had made it clear to Adam what he was supposed to do independently. Well, some people believe they were together, but nevertheless, he knew he was not supposed to do it, but then he passed the blame to someone else. Saints, when we are given a responsibility, it is not our, I don't even know what the word is, when we cast blame on other people, when we know God gave us an assignment, we better get the busy to doing it, because when we don't, who do we blame? When you stand before, who do you say? I mean, as we now can look and read and see how crazy that sounded, well, Lord, it was that woman you gave me, and then she was, it was the serpent. Well, I mean, at the end of the day, did anybody take ownership of what they did? You got to own your own stuff. That was one of the things that a girlfriend, you know, we used to go on all the time, that we learned from one of our teaching mentors. Own your stuff. Own it. Lord, I made a mistake. I messed up. And so I remember when a church that I was belonging to, they tried to weight shame me and during Bible study. And it wasn't no big deal for me because I took it, you know. Amen. I know that I'm not where I'm supposed to be. I know that I'm not doing what God called me to do. But I know that, you know, he's working with me, and I'm willing to accept it, and I'm willing to own it. And how that was a light to so many people that thought, how dare they do that to you? But I'm grateful that you stood your ground and you made it clear that, you know, you make mistakes and that you are willing to own it. And even they had to agree with the comment, because I did. I mean, I have no problem owning my mess, none, because I understand that God said that he would always forgive me. And that he would never leave me nor forsake me, nor would he ever stop loving me. And first and foremost, because I'm a kid's king. I mean, a king's kid. Sorry. I'm a king's kid. Amen. He can't look down on me because I'm his child. And so no matter what I do, he already knew I was going to do it in the first place. And so why not represent the light? Lord, I repent. You know, I made a mistake. I don't want to cast blame on anybody else. I want to take the ownership of what I've done. Because I think had Adam, and it was so funny, me and one of the gentlemen, I was not necessarily eavesdropping, but there was a conversation in front of me at the game this weekend, and he was talking about, you know, if women had did this and such, and she was like, no, if men do such and such and such and such, and they were going back and forth and back and forth, and I laughed, and they realized that I could hear them, and they was like, well, sister, what do you think? And I said, well, I said, I agree with both of y'all. You know, you guys both have some great tips. I said, but if Adam had just said, Lord, I'm sorry. You know, I probably should have made sure that Eve wasn't trapped by the serpent. And then I apologize that we both got conned into eating this. But would that have been a different scenario? Would things have been different had they had just owned their stuff? And so I would like to believe that if we, because praise God, we've been given a lot more grace, if we just own and be the light and say, Lord, I repent. You know, I know you told me not to do this, but I did it anyway. I know you told me not to go here, not to say this, or whatever the situation is. Maybe the hardship that we have to go through from being disobedient may not be as vast or as great if we own it. Maybe darkness wouldn't have surrounded the planet had God not had to curse the earth because of the sin that they had done. What if we really take up what we're reading in the Word? What if we study to show ourselves approved to rightly divide the Word? What if we didn't lean to our own understanding? What if we allow God to organize and to establish our steps? The hardships we not have to endure, the light and the constant illumination we would be in the presence of if we just did what God told us to do. And then if we do make mistakes, because he knows we're going to make mistakes because we're not perfect, we're not Jesus, he knows we're going to make mistakes. But if we just repent, amen, and do what God has called us to do. Moving to the New Testament, I like the storyline where it talks about John the Baptist and how he was a witness of the light, because Jesus was a true light, and how Jesus, well, of course, God came in the form of Jesus to witness to us that we could have the authority back, amen, that we could live forever if we were to be obedient and do the things and be the example. And he was that true example, God in the flesh. And he alone revealed his glory because he became flesh and dwelt among us. And so because he did that, because he was willing to go through the pain and the torture and all that was necessary so that we could be free from darkness, why is it that we continue to stumble in the darkness? Why do we continue to want to jeopardize our right standing with God so that we can, what, be empowered to be, what, the leader of this group? Or, I mean, some of the things that we give away for godly recognition, for worldly recognition, I don't understand. I mean, I guess I do to some degree because, I mean, I've been there, done that too. But what is it that causes us to do that? Well, you know, the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so even when he knows that we're trying our best to endure, to do the things that God has called us to do, he makes our lives, that warfare that we just, it's just hard for us to just get through. And seems like we're just forever walking in challenges and situations. We have to understand where that's coming from. It's the serpent, amen, that's trying to get us to do something, to go against the will of God. And then knowing that we are fallible, that we'll blame somebody else. It was my sister, or it was my brother, or it was the church, or, you know, we blame so many people. It's the same story, same scenario, that we won't take ownership and we won't allow the light of God to shine through us. Adam and Eve were in the garden with God, where he would walk with them in the cool. I mean, we can't have a concept of what that must have been like. But to some degree we do, because he lives in us. And so we're in his presence. We would hear him. We would know his voice. We would feel his presence. But many times we've taken on so many cares of this world that we can't feel his presence. We can't hear his voice. And so we have to get into the word and understand when he says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light and the life. Sometimes when I read that, I'm like, Lord, why is it that I still want to follow sin? Why do I still want to stumble in darkness? Why do I still want to drink cold Pepsis? And why do I keep eating all this candy? Why do I keep being a glutton for, you know, other people's business? Why do I allow my flesh to, you know, become king? Why do I do, when I know you are the light, when all I got to do is turn to you, when all I need to do is just call on you? I know that you are the true light. I know that you will enter if I just ask you to just come into my life and to change my mindset, to give me a new posture, a new mindset. Renew my mind, he'll do all of those things. But why is it that we feel comfortable sometimes in our sin? That's something that we have to ask ourselves. And many times we can't answer that because we've gotten so caught up that we can't even see where we've lost our way, because many times we don't believe we're doing anything wrong. And so my challenge for you tonight is to really get into the word and to really find scriptures that will help you understand what does it mean to be a servant of God? What does it mean to really yield to the light of God and to allow that light to illuminate through you and to be able to share that light? I like that in Revelation it says that there will be no more night. You will not need light or a lamp or the sun, or the light of the sun, for the Lord will give light to them, and they will reign forever and ever. So you know, like I said, I saw that moon and it kind of put this in perspective for me because it was like, I mean, it was so bright that there was no street lights, but it was just as light as it was with the lights when I was going further down the road. Matter of fact, it was lighter. And so I can't imagine, you know, God's presence, you know, to the point where Moses asked, look, can I just see your, you know, part? And he had to cover him in the rock. Just, I mean, we couldn't handle God's glory. So if we were just to operate with just a little bit, can you imagine what people would say about us if we really operated in the light of God, if we really was his servants forevermore, that we would do the things that he called us to do? How I remember my former pastor used to say that sometimes you can be so focused and be so into the presence of God that your shadow, because of the presence of God, can be in your shadow, could heal people by you walking by just because the presence of God is so heavy on you. Wouldn't it be cool to be like that? Wouldn't it be that cool to be that in tune with the things of God that you hear? And so me and a friend was talking today even about how there were times in our walk where we knew that we heard the voice of God at all times. And it's like, for me, it was, how did I get away from that? How did I get out of really like studying, like really like before my face and just, you know, prostrate. I still can't spell that word, but I knew how to lay that way and pray. And now it's, you know, okay, Lord, you know how I feel. Amen. You know, we cool. Okay, good night. Amen. But there was a time that, amen, there was nothing that I could do to prevent me from being in the presence of God. Nothing. Because I enjoy being in his presence. But I've allowed so much to enter that to some point I think we allow the darkness to shame us. And so all we have to do is ask God for forgiveness. But sometimes the enemy will remind you of that thing over and over and over again and over and over and over again. And as long as we listen, it stains us. And it stains us and it takes some of the light, it dims some of the light. And although we still claim to be servants of God and although we claim to be ministers and apostles and prophets and all the things that we put titles on, we still are operating in darkness because the people can't see the light. I have witnessed so many so-called, quote-unquote, people of God, and they're so judgmental. You know, it hurts me sometimes because there's nothing I could say to tell them that their light is dim because they believe their light is so bright. And so, saints, what have we done that we've gotten to this point? Many times it's because, praise God, I like how one of the studies that I read, it equated it to a blackout, a city blackout, and how many times there are blackouts and people don't even realize there's a blackout. And it's because the city is so dark anyway, they don't even realize that the power's out. And so then you have some people that are so overwhelmed and overjoyed in light that they notice even when the lights are getting dim. And so I believe God wants us to understand, and our awareness, when the lights get dim and our spirits are walk, what do we do? Do we change the light bulb, or we just let it go out? Do we do anything to change to make sure that light is illuminating in the right places? I like how on my desk I have this clamp light. And I got it from IKEA many years ago. And so I remember I bought a couple of them. And my family always teases me because it's like, well, you just can't buy one of anything. And it's like, well, if they're cool, I buy. But now how that light, because of the way that the neck, I can turn it up, I can turn it down, I can turn it. And now I can't find another one like that because, praise God, I gave the other ones away. I should have kept them. But nevertheless, it helped illuminate areas of my desk that I can't see sometimes. Or if I drop something behind my desk, I can turn the neck and the light will shine down. So can you imagine if we were instruments of God's light and how he could shine us in this area, or he can shine us in how we could really change our world, how we could really illuminate for Christ. There are so many things that illuminate. When I was at the game this weekend, I was noticing how many kids had tablets and earbuds and headphones. And I mean, they were constantly looking down. I mean, even adults, how, you know, with so many people, how people were walking, looking down. I mean, so many people could have really gotten hit and hurt looking down at these phones, and how we're allowing our minds to be trapped, because basically that whatever that is that we're watching or looking at, it's illuminating our spirit, because it's reflecting on how we're behaving. So what you put in, amen, is what you're going to shine. And so if you got a dim light, amen, you're going to be dim to people. But if you have a bright light, and that light is lighting of God, then amen, we'll shine on people forever for more, and people will be able to see God through us if we're shining the light on of Him. And so my question to you is to ask yourself, are you shining the light of Christ, or are you, you know, representing the darkness that the enemy wants you to portray? I like also that in this article, it talks about, you know, the blackouts, and how when the power is restored. I don't know if you've ever paid attention, and when I thought when I read that, I thought of remembering when the power went off at our building a couple of days ago, and how, you know, it was kind of, oh, well, you know, people took their time getting to the building, whatever. But then when the message came over, the power's on, how everybody was excited, and everybody ran to the building. When there's light, when there's joy, people run to the light. They run to joy. But if your light is dim, and you wonder why, you know, I don't attract the right type of people, maybe it's the light that you're giving. Maybe it's the light that's not representing the right light. And so we need to make sure that we're representing the things of God. And so one of the other things that I think that God wants us to really kind of capture, even from Adam and Eve's story, is that it says that the story of paradise was lost by the willfulness of human sin. Humility was originally given to perfect things that we could only need or want. And so it was without restrictions. And so we willingly give away our light. We willingly decide to walk in darkness. I mean, I don't think we choose. I don't think anybody wants to walk in darkness, but we're choosing it because we have a choice to walk in the things of God and walk in light. And so when God tells you to do something, you got to be obedient. You got to do it. And so I want to leave this scripture with you, 1 John 1 and verse 5. It says, this is the message that we've heard. Now, this is the message version, and I'll read the international, and I'll read the message version. It says, this is the message we have heard from him and declare to you, God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not live out the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, the Son, purifies us from all sin. If we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us of our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and his word is not in us. That's 5 through 10. It's important, saints, that we get the understanding that it is our responsibility to walk in the light, not to walk in darkness. And when we recognize that there are certain areas in our lives that are dark, because there can be very well some areas in your life that, you know, you're walking in the light. I wholeheartedly believe that I walk in the light when it comes to sharing love and sharing joy with others. But I do walk in darkness when it comes to doing things that God has told me to how to take care of myself. Because sometimes I'm like, well, Lord, amen, you know. But I got to do better. because how can I continue to operate in light in this area? Eventually, the dimness of the areas that I'm being disobedient in, it's going to catch up with the light. And so in order for me to walk in true light, amen, I can't be lying to myself. The Bible even says that if we claim to be without sin, we deceive ourselves. And so sometimes, you know, it's like, well, just a little bit. We're lying. We're deceiving ourselves because we know anything that's not light is dark. And anything that's dark is not of God. God is light, and there is no darkness in him. So, when we say that and say that out loud, what is that really saying? When we operate in darkness, we're eliminating that part of God from us because he doesn't operate in darkness. And so we don't want to be completely converted to darkness. Amen. Because then, amen, there is no amen with that. So we want to make sure that we don't deceive ourselves. That's why we always ask God, God, come into my heart and, you know, renew my mind, renew my heart. And if there's anything that's not like you, remove it, Father. Show me so that I can repent, because I always want to come before you with clean hands and a pure heart. I want to have a pure heart. And then we can be humble and say, Lord, you know, I missed it. You know, I'm still missing it. And I'll probably miss it tomorrow. So I need your help. You know, show me. Give me signs. Give me somebody that will help me. Because he said, if you're willing to be a student, he'll show me a teacher. I promise he will. Because he wants us to be right. He wants us to walk in the light. He wants us to do the things that he's called us to walk in. And then the message version says, this, in essence, is the message that we heard from Christ and are passing on to you. God is light, pure light. There is no trace of darkness in him. If we claim that we are experienced and shared life with him and continue to stumble around in the dark, we're obviously lying through our teeth. We're not living what we claim. But if we walk in the light, God himself being light, we also experience a shared life with one another as the sacrificed blood of Jesus, God's purges all of our sins, not some, but all of our sins. And I think sometimes we allow the enemy to make us believe that, no, I don't know. He said he will purge us from all wrongdoing. We just have to claim that we sin and that we don't want to be without contradiction. We don't want to live without contradiction. We want to make sure that we do the things that God has called us to do and to live. And so, amen. If you got nothing else from this message today, is allow God's light to shine through you. And in order for his light to shine through you, you got to make sure that there's no darkness. And if there is darkness, then ask him to remove it and to show you how to leave it alone so that you don't have to live in darkness. Amen. It's one thing to turn the lights off. But amen, you can always turn the switch back on. Just, Lord, come into my life. And it's just like the switch, he'll come in. So now, you know, I can keep talking because I love to talk about the things of God, but I am out of time. And so I want you to tune in again next week where we'll have another inspiring word where we want to learn more and more about him so we can be encouraged, so that we can be educated, and that we can be empowered. I want to make sure that I leave with you that you have to know that Jesus is the true light, and that living for life for him, he allowed his word to become flesh and blood so that we would be able to read and understand how to not operate and live in darkness. But we got to make sure that he is our light and our savior. So you got to yield to him and you got to allow him to live through you and to be able to ask for forgiveness when you need to. It's free. Just ask, and I promise he'll forgive you. But nevertheless, tune in again next week. We'll have another inspiring word. I always close the broadcast with my granny's favorite song. Every praise belongs to God. I couldn't get up. Every praise belongs to God. I know she was my number one listener, and she would listen often. And so I always try to close the broadcast, and we'll try to always close the broadcast with her favorite song. And then I know many of you like it too. But again, this is Leah Killings with Empowered to Change Blog Talk Radio, where we encourage, educate, and empower all to the glory of God. Make sure that you always start your day with prayer, pray throughout your day, and then end your day with prayer. God bless you, and have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Be blessed.